one time a person told me, they said, I'm praying for you. My wife and I pray for you very often. I don't know if they said every day, but often. And they said, we pray that the Lord will help you to be in the right place at the right time, doing what he wants you to do. Well, I thanked them for that, and then I began to pray it myself, because I thought it was a good prayer. Lord, help me to be where you want me to be, when you want me to be there, doing what you would have me to do. Well, sometimes we think we know what that means. You know, we ask the Lord to do things, and we think we know exactly what that means, but we come to discover that it didn't mean anything like we thought it did. And yet, we don't have to know what it means. We can commit ourselves to God like that and trust him to guide us. And so I pray that every once in a while when I think about that, Lord, help me to be where you want me to be, when you want me there. That implies for as long as you want me to be, and then doing what you would have me to do. Sometimes people have expectations over our lives, and we feel that. They want us in a certain place. They want us there for a certain amount of time. And sometimes they want us to leave, but the Lord keeps us there. And sometimes they want us to stay, and then the Lord tells us to go. Praise God. And our lives are in his hands. And so we can't plan them ourselves. Or we make our plans, but we always say, thy will be done. If the Lord will, I'll go here and I'll go there and I'll do this and I'll do that. And so we want to be careful. We want to be careful not to run ahead of the Lord. Sometimes God shows us what he has in mind for us, and so right away we run with it. And then it doesn't work out. And we get all discouraged and confused. And we find out that it wasn't the Lord's time. You know, it's not just enough to know what God wants, but you need to know when he wants it. And sometimes we run ahead and we try to do things too soon. And we're not ready for that yet. There's some preparation that yet needs to be done in us, and there's preparation that needs to be done on the other end as well. And so we have to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we lag behind. We should be moving along and taking certain steps, and we just kind of like it where we are. We get used to things, and we lag behind. And so every day we need to just commit ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be where you want me to be, when you want me to be there, and doing what you would have me to do. And that too is important, that we know what God wants us to do. Sometimes we have our own ideas about that as well. Maybe somebody put some ideas in our heads. Maybe we've seen the way God has used other people, and we want to be used that way too, because it's been such a blessing to us. And so we figure, well, if we can let God use us that way, we can be a blessing to someone else. But we're not made that way. And you have to just be yourself. And you have to be what God wants you to be. Nobody can be you. And so God wants you to just trust that he will. He will manifest himself in you in the way that he desires to. And I know this is a very general sort of talk, but maybe the Holy Spirit can apply it into your life in a very specific way. Lord, show me. And until if the Lord doesn't show you to change anything, then don't change. Just be faithful where you are. Shine where you are. I remember that we were taught one time that there were some saints in Zion, and there were some young people training for ministry. And often they would minister in a certain church to begin with. And they knew that they weren't going to stay there, most likely, that after a while that God would lead them on. They were getting some training there. But the Lord told them something very interesting. He said, I want you to give yourself to that work as though you would be there for the rest of your life. And even though you know you're not going to be there for the rest of your life, I want you to don't think about that. Just give yourself to the work at hand and give yourself wholeheartedly. Sometimes I've been in places where I felt that I wouldn't be there forever. But I was reminded of that a number of times. You just give yourself. This is where God has you now. And so give yourself without reserve. Don't hold anything back. Well, I'm not going to be around here too much longer, so I don't want to get too involved. Just give yourself to the work at hand, whatever it may be. And do it for Jesus, and do it with all your heart. And sometimes we say, well, if I get too involved, I'll never get free from this. You know, sometimes when I think about, will the Lord ever change my ministry of where I am? And I think, well, I can't do that, because there's no one else coming up in the ranks and this and that. You know, when I was, I don't mean to talk so much about myself, I know these stories better than about me than you do. But anyway, I remember when I was ministering in both Ridgewood and Canarsie, when I first came up to New York, they asked me to help in the Ridgewood Church. And then on Sunday morning, Ridgewood had a German-speaking meeting, and so since I didn't speak German, the Bowers asked me to come over to their meeting and help in the meeting there in Canarsie, and also on Tuesday night to try to do something with their young people. Wednesday night, I was working with the young people in Ridgewood. And so we had a pretty full schedule for a while, I did. And I was doing that for about 17 years between the two churches. And every once in a while, I thought, you know, I don't think I'll be doing this forever. I don't think I can do this forever. I don't think that I can do either church justice. Began to feel like we were getting spread a little bit thin. And then when children came into our lives, after I married Lily and children came into our lives, there were other responsibilities that God had given us. And once in a while, Lily and I would talk. Usually when I drove out to my parents' house on Long Island, that's when I had my best talks on the Long Island Expressway. They call that the world's biggest parking lot because of all the traffic. And so we would talk. Well, what are we going to do? Are we supposed to stay in Ridgewood? Are we supposed to go over to Ridgewood and leave Canarsie? Are we supposed to go to Canarsie and leave Ridgewood? And we love both places. We love the people in both churches. And we really didn't know what to do. And we'd always come to the conclusion, well, God hasn't shown us anything, so let's trust Him to help us to keep on. And so we did. And every once in a while, I was looking around for someone to take my place in Ridgewood, especially after the Bowers retired. Now, my father-in-law and I were left there, and I'd sit on the Ridgewood platform, and there'd be Brother Edwin and myself and Brother Eddie and sometimes Kenny Otten. And I was thinking of John Schreck sitting all by himself there in Canarsie. And I thought, you know, maybe I needed more there than here. I don't know. So anyway, one day I was driving out to Long Island. Sounds like I go there all the time, doesn't it? And I just knew in my heart that it was time to make this change and that I was to talk to Brother Eddie and Brother Edwin, and that by October of that year that I was to lay down all my responsibilities in Ridgewood and go over to Canarsie. Now, I can't explain to you how I knew that. The assurance was so definite and so real. And with that came the boldness, if you can say it that, to follow that thing through. Now, Brother Edwin and Brother Eddie were both very gracious. They didn't say, absolutely not, what are you talking about? We need you here to drive the van and whatever. They also were kind enough not to make me feel like they couldn't wait for me to leave. They had real wisdom. But it made me to feel like they, of course, would miss me there. And yet, we knew that we would still have very strong ties and I would still have fellowship with those in Ridgewood and so on. But so we made that change. We made arrangements to make that change. Now, as I say, I was always looking for someone to take my place. Sometimes I would ask a young person, why don't you come? Sit in the youth meetings with me, you know, and get involved. You know, get into a position of leadership there. And that never worked out. But when the Lord gave me that assurance to make the change, nothing had fallen in line the way I had been hoping and looking for, but I just knew it was time, and I was trusting that I was making the right decision. I don't profess to do everything perfectly, for sure. But It wasn't long after I was gone that God began to raise up the very young people that I had been ministering to and working with for years. And they were very capable. They began to lead the Vacation Bible School. They began to take over the youth group. They began to teach my Sunday school class. They began to do the Easter play and the Christmas program. And I saw that God didn't have one person in mind to take my place. He had a bunch of young people that were ready to fill in these different places and grow in God and have the joy and the opportunity to serve God in these different ways. I was so pleased with that. And then I'd come up and talk to Brother Edwin, and he would say, "We had the best vacation school we ever had in ever." And he would tell me things like that, and he was excited about what God was doing with the young people, and I would laugh, the best VBS they ever had. But maybe that was so, and it should be that way, and we praise God for that. And now I look at some of these young men and women, you look at Matthew Walfogle and Jeffrey and some others, and they're really taking their place and finding their place of service, and it's... And then I look back and I think maybe I stayed too long. I was probably in the way for a while. And God was waiting to open up these doors for them. You can't figure these things out. You just have to pray, "God, help me to be where you want me to be, when you want me to be there, doing what you want me to do." And then when the Lord tells you to move on, then do it. You know what's good for you, if you have any sense. And so we want to live that way all the time. Praise God. And so I would imagine that the Lord wants us at Pilgrim Camp right now, doing what we're doing. And I guess we know how long we'll be here, because you made your reservations. The Lord can change those things too, I've noticed. Last year we stayed a little bit longer because Brother Jim Schultheis went to heaven, and things changed. But sometimes it's short-term things, other times it's longer. But the important thing is that we're there for Jesus. And we're all there for Him, as I said before. Yes, we know things will change, but don't think about that. Think about what you can be for Jesus right now, and be your best for Him right here, right now. Praise God. And here we have a marvelous opportunity. God has brought us to camp. And He's brought us here, and this is where we're supposed to be right now, and we want to be here for Him. Praise God. It blesses me when people that come to the camp, especially guests, how they take the work of camp upon their hearts, as you do, and pray for the staff, and pray for the campers, and pray for the ministry, and then as other needs present themselves, you pray and trust God together. That God will be glorified. You know, I said when I first came up, this isn't my ministry at camp, but this, every one of us here at camp are called to be part of this ministry. You may come up here to vacation, and you may come up here to rest a little bit, you may come up here to seek the Lord, but you also come up here to minister and be part of this ministry. That's the wonderful thing about camp. We're all part of the ministry at camp. And when we go home, we keep praying for camp. We keep praying for those people that God has brought into our life. I sometimes think that Pilgrim Camp is the most prayed for place in the world over the summer. And I know that that might be an exaggeration. But you know, in our meetings back home, in Ridgewood and the other churches, you know, always hear somebody praying for camp. And that's wonderful. Because without that prayer, camp couldn't be what it is. And we wouldn't meet the Lord the way we do. We never want to take that for granted. You know, it's so precious. The Lord said about Pilgrim Camp, "I never want you to take the presence of God for granted here." Didn't say it exactly in those words. But the idea was, cherish that. And don't take that lightly. And God, in good measure, I trust, has helped us to take heed to that. Praise God. So let's continue to worship the Lord tonight. We'll go to prayer shortly, but let's see what God has for us yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. I know it's in our white book, number 34. There too. I remember just smiling because I was looking through some Christian magazine and they were selling a book. And it said, with a lion in a pit on a snowy day, what to do when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Of course, that refers to one of David's mighty men in the book of Chronicles. I think it's the 11th chapter or something like that. It talks about a man that killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Well, falling in a pit with a lion would be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and then to make it worse, it was a snowy day. But actually, it says there that he went down into the pit to kill that lion. And sometimes it looks like you might be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you're right where God wants you to, and you can believe for victory there. And so, anyway, I was amused with that title and that reference to one of David's mighty men in a pit with a lion on a snowy day. But he got victory there. And God called our attention to what a valiant soldier he was. Praise God. And sometimes you might think you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And there God will meet you and God will give you victory. And God will make you one of his mighty men, one of his mighty women who fills a very precious place as far as he's concerned in his kingdom. Praise God. Now let's sing the last verse.